Well, good morning. It's good to be here again. We want to ask that if there's maybe seats next to you that you could kind of scoot to the inside. We want to make sure that there's no empty seats. I know there's some people standing in the back, so we want to make sure that everyone has a place to sit. As you likely know, this is a special service that we get to celebrate, as we get to celebrate with seven of the family members of this church as they go through the waters of baptism. It's both a time of rejoicing with them and, more importantly, a time where we worship and thank our Lord. And so let me pray for us. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for being good beyond what we could ever deserve. We're excited to be here to celebrate with our brothers and sisters this morning. But even more than celebrating with them, we are excited to glorify you. You are the reason we're here. You sent your Son to die in our place and you raised him up again. And through him, you have raised us up. You have given us new life. And so we praise you and worship you, and we thank you for being gracious to us. We pray that through both the testimonies and the baptisms this morning, that we would declare you are great and you are gracious. We love you and we praise you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We don't have time for a full message this morning. You can pretend to be disappointed. But before we have the baptisms, I did want to take a moment at least to briefly explain what baptisms are so that we might more fully appreciate them, and even more that we might be moved to worship. I think when it comes to ceremonies and symbolism, the significance is often lost to our detriment. I was thinking about this recently. My youngest son, he's adopted from Japan, and a couple of weeks ago he became a U.S. citizen. Okay, so he's 2 years old, and we went to this ceremony, and he had no idea what was going on. He was pretty excited about holding a flag that they gave him, mainly because he got to wave around a sharp stick. He got a certificate of citizenship, and the only thing that seemed to impress him was that it had his picture on it. There was a message on a video from Barack Obama, and I think it would have been more powerful if it was Elmo or someone along those lines, because he has no idea who Obama is. He even rose his right hand, you know, to say a little pledge, which he couldn't say. But in it, he was committing to, and I quote, to bearing arms on behalf of the United States, if required by law. Okay? Now, understand, he's two. And trust me, he wants to bear arms. Okay? But that's not a question. But he has no idea what he's committing to. Midway through the ceremony, he's getting restless. And so we gave him fruit snacks. And that seemed to be the highlight of the day. So I think for him, it was completely lost on him. I mean, this is one of the more significant days of his life. He's become a U.S. citizen, and yet he'll never remember it. We'll have to show him pictures and kind of explain it to him. I think the same can be true for us. I don't know how many baptisms I've witnessed since in my life, but too often, especially when I was younger, I really didn't think enough about what it meant. Well, Paul says this about baptism in Colossians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. You've been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. And you who were dead in your trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses. What is then is baptism? Baptism is an outward demonstration of an inward reality of a believer's union with Christ. Now that may sound a bit complicated, but maybe more simply, it's a public display of our faith. Think of it this way. Being a Christian is a matter of the heart, right? It's a transformation on the inside. It's from straight appearances, you can't tell if someone is a believer. I mean, if you look at this church, some would say we all look alike, but in reality, we're different, right? There's believers and unbelievers here, and you can't tell who someone is just by looking at them. When you get saved, you don't change color. You don't wear a Christian uniform. Right? It's an internal conversion. And so baptism is a means to show people on the outside what has happened to you on the inside. Baptism then is a symbol. Now, one of the reasons this is important is to understand is that this means baptism doesn't earn us favor. In other words, baptism, getting baptized doesn't save you or make you a Christian. It just represents something. It says something. And this makes evangelical Christianity unique in that often religions, even things like Catholicism, perform religious rituals because they earn you favor with God or they bring you salvation. But Christian baptism is unique in that it doesn't earn us favor, And yet it is vitally important because it represents something very significant and portrays or conveys a powerful picture of a believer's salvation. I think last year when I spoke on this, I used the example of a wedding ring. Right? A wedding ring is a picture of the idea that I'm married. But the fact that I'm wearing a wedding ring doesn't necessarily mean I'm married. I mean, if I take it off, right, I'm still married. I can't go, I really want to hang out with the guys tonight. You know what I'll do? I'll just take off the ring, not married, go hang out, and then later or put it back on, right? It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that I'm married necessarily. However, a ring is a powerful symbol of marriage. This has never happened, but imagine me and my wife are in a fight and I just take my ring and I throw it on the ground. I mean, that would really say something, right? Because it's a powerful picture of marriage. Baptism is the same way. It doesn't save you, but it is a powerful picture of salvation. What then does baptism symbolize? Well, at its simplest, it symbolizes faith. You're declaring by this act, I am a Christian. I'm a Christ follower. But with this, you're saying so much more. You're saying you're showing your allegiance to Christ. You're declaring your part in the church. You're representing your union with Christ. You're showing Christ's work in your life. And so baptism is this visible testimony of your commitment to Christ, a visible testimony of your part in the church, and a visible testimony of Christ's work in your life. And again, at its simplest, you're just saying, I'm a Christian. I'm devoted to Christ, and I want you to know his saving grace in my life. Now, there really is a lot to this, but for simplicity and time's sake, maybe what will really help us to appreciate the symbolism of baptism is to think about the symbol itself. Baptism is meant to be a picture of death and resurrection, of death and new life. When someone is immersed in water, it's like dying and being buried. And when they are raised out of the water, it demonstrates the new life that they have in Christ. If you think about it, it's a bit morbid, right? Here we are celebrating faith in Christ, and we do this with an act that signifies someone's death. But by using these ideas, death and life, we're showing the significance of what this is by saying of what is happening, right? Nothing is more fundamental to our existence than life and death. And by saying our salvation is like death and life, we are showing how important it is. Imagine we did something that demonstrated that someone was sick and then got better. That might be a good illustration, but not nearly as powerful as I'm dead and I'm brought back to life. And this story of death and life is at the heart of the gospel that the baptism demonstrates. Let's think a moment about that gospel that baptism pictures. God made us to live for him in perfect obedience and joy. Have you thought about that? I mean, you could be here, you could be a Christian for your whole life, you could have never stepped foot in a church. Do you realize that God made you to live for him? And the thing is, initially, it wasn't slavish, it wasn't boring, it wasn't agonizing in any way, because we were made to live for God. Nothing brought us greater joy. In the beginning, when God created man and woman, everything was perfect and everything was right. But then sin entered the world and it devastated everything. I doubt, again, whether you're Christian or not, you would question the fact that this world isn't perfect. And the reason it's sin. Sin is the breaking of God's law, but worse, it is our condition, which means we are sinners by action and by nature. And nothing is more serious than sin. Sin is more serious than struggle or suffering or even death. Because sin is not simply mistakes or doing something wrong. Every sin is an act of rebellion against God. Because every time we sin, we're declaring that we will not live for God. Cornelius Plantinga put it this way. Sin is not only the breaking of law, but also the breaking of a covenant with one Savior. Sin is the smearing of a relationship, the grieving of one's divine parent and benefactor, a betrayal of the partner to whom one is joined by a holy bond. Sin ruins our relationship that we have with God. And because of our sin, our righteous God must judge and punish sin. Okay, if he didn't deal with sin, he wouldn't be God. He wouldn't be a just God. He wouldn't be, but he is always just. He's always perfectly fair. Imagine someone murdered your family. You would want justice. You would want them to be punished for their actions. God is always just. And so he'll punish us because of that we are lawbreakers. So because all of us are sinners, all of us are rebels against God, and all of us are awaiting judgment, this is the state of our lives. And there's nothing we can do about it. Nothing we can do can bring ourselves salvation. What does this mean? All of us are dead in our sins. As Paul says in our Colossians passage, we were dead in our trespasses. So though physically we still have breath, spiritually, apart from Christ, we are dead. They have a term for someone on death row, someone in prison awaiting execution. They are dead men walking. Yeah, they're living, they're breathing, but judgment is coming and it's inevitable. And this describes us apart from Christ. We are dead men walking. We can move, we still have breath, but spiritual judgment is inevitable and we are as good as dead. So at this point, what would be a better illustration than baptism? Wouldn't it be someone going into water, dying to their sin and being raised to new life, forgiven for eternity? Maybe it would be someone dressed in prison garb on their way to the electric chair. Or people knowing, waiting in prison, knowing that the inevitable fate that awaits them, knowing that judgment is coming. But that being said, baptism is the appropriate illustration because the story doesn't end there. Our God is just, but he is also loving. And so he sent Jesus to be our Savior. How? By taking the penalty I deserve upon himself. Okay, Christ went to the cross and suffered for me so that I wouldn't have to be punished. Again, maybe you're not a believer and we're so glad that you're here. And maybe you've heard, you know, something about Christianity. You've heard about Jesus dying for sins or Jesus being a Savior. And have you ever thought, well, how does that happen? What is he really accomplishing in that? It's this. Jesus went to the cross and suffered God's wrath for me so that I don't have to be punished in the end. Because I put my faith in Christ, my sins were credited to him and God punished him for it. And conversely, his perfect life was credited to me. And now God looks at me and sees his son. Jesus died for me. His death was my death. And then he rose from the grave and I rise from death to new life. And this is what baptism symbolizes. Romans 6:4 puts it this way. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. And this baptism is a powerful illustration, not of eternal death, but eternal life. In Christ, the prison clothes are taken off and we're released from prison. And instead of inevitable execution, we're given new life. No longer are we dead men walking, awaiting the unavoidable judgment to come. Rather, we're men and women with new life, destined for eternity with our Savior. People are Christians not because they're baptized or not because they go to church, but because they've turned from their sin and placed their faith in Jesus. This is what it is to be saved. It's not about being a good person or even knowing a lot of the Bible. This is what it is to be a Christian. It's to trust in Jesus for your salvation. So baptism is so important to us. It's not simply a religious ritual. At its core, it demonstrates something. It teaches something. It says something about God, the God that we believe in, and what he has done in our lives. In a sense, it's a visible demonstration of the gospel. As the old reformers would call it, it's visible words. And so this is why we rejoice in baptism. It declares to the world that our God is great and he saves sinners like you and me. As you watch this morning and as you see them go under the water, think about what it means that they died with Christ. And when they are raised up again, think about what it means that they were raised to new life in Jesus. Let me just close with this. One of the highlights this week was reading the testimonies. You'll get to hear them. It's hard to explain how good it is to hear of God's mercy in their lives. I know you'll be blessed by them. They're unique. We have men and women. Some came from different parts of our country. Some from different parts of the world. Some grew up in Christian homes. Some never knew faith growing up. But this truth was always the same. Each of them is a sinner, but Christ saved them. I love that when I read them, none of them said things like, I was pretty good and God helped me a little. Or I grew up in the church and I thought it was about time to be baptized. Each of them talks about the idea that they're sinners in need of grace. And Jesus died for their sins. This morning, then, it's all about the grace of Christ. It's about Jesus. He's the focus because he is the Savior. So as you listen to each testimony, as you watch the baptism, my hope isn't that you'll be impressed with different people and how they share their faith or that you'll think well of the ministry of Lighthouse. Rather, be amazed at Christ and his love and his mercy and that he would die for sinners. Be amazed that he died and suffered wrath so we don't have to. And be amazed that he gives grace to the dead that he might raise us to new life. And then worship our Savior and rejoice with these friends of ours because our God is good. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you. And we are undeserving of your grace, and yet you give it to us. You give it to us in our salvation, which is more than we could ever ask for, and it's enough for us to just go into eternity praising your name. But you even give us the grace of being here this morning and getting to see what you've done in people's lives. So we praise you, Lord. We love you. We're excited for this day. We hope that you're honored. We thank you, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
This evening is a big night for Hollywood. As all of you know, there's the Oscars. And Oscars are representing their awards for movies. And movies, in essence, tell a story. And that's what we're going to be doing now, is listening to testimonies, their stories about people's lives. But it's not just about any type of story. It's a story actually about God, about how God brought and how he kind of intertwined things and made things happen so that he would be displayed in their lives. That's what a testimony is. It's testifying to the goodness of God, saying, this is what my life was like before, but by God's grace, he's changed me, and this is who I am now. So I hope that as you listen to these testimonies, you'll be in awe, not of the person, but of Jesus Christ. And so we're going to be listening to the different testimonies before our brothers and sisters get baptized. And I'm going to be doing a quick introduction of each. And at this time, Pastor Ryan will be entering the baptismal tank. But first, I would like to call up Soshi Odawara, who will be reading Lily's testimony. Soshi is from Japan, and both of them met at our international student ministry called Spectrum. And he has played a vital role in helping Lily to understand just the grace of Jesus Christ. So I'm going to call up Soshi right now. And Soshi's not only been reading, but he's also the boyfriend of Lily, too. So come on forward.
This is the testimony of Lily Su. I had been living in Taiwan for 26 years before I came to the U.S. I graduated and worked in Taiwan. I thought I would live my whole life in Taiwan. To come to the U.S. was like a dream come true. God has been showing me his plan through my Aunt Michelle's support. She has helped me pay for school here. Through her support, I could come here and go to school again. However, I didn't speak English well. I was totally a stranger in this country. The first few months were just hard for me. Another grace that God gave me is that I could live with Aunt May and Uncle John. They accompanied me when I felt alone. In December 2011, 1 month after I came to the States, I visited Lighthouse Community Church and its international student ministry called Spectrum for the first time. I was so impressed because everyone was so welcoming and kind to me. I saw how Dan, Jessica, Vivi, Daniel, Jolene, Claudine, Euphemio, Katie, Tracy, Soshi, and many other leaders in Spectrum showed the love from Christ to every international student like me. Through Spectrum's Bible study, God has revealed his glory and answering my questions by Dan's leading. It's an amazing process for me to gradually realize how I was saved. And it all started when God brought me from Taiwan to America and in America to Spectrum. Romans 1:28 says, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. This verse answered my question about my past. I've wasted my time doing things that I should not be doing. Even though I have regret, God tells me that I still have time to rejoice in his love. Spectrum is what God used to show me that a person who is imperfect like me is still loved by God because of Jesus. I still don't know how and why it happened, but God's love fulfills my heart abundantly through Jesus and his ministry at Spectrum. Today I want to be baptized because I want to let everybody know that I deserve death because of my own sin, but God sent his only son, Jesus, to earth and paid my debts by dying on the cross. I now reborn in the Holy Spirit and become a new creation. I no longer live this life for myself, and I live this life for Jesus because he saved this life. And I want to love my Savior with my all. I am excited and looking forward to growing in Christ with my sisters and brothers I have met in Spectrum and Lighthouse. I pray that the Holy Spirit will guide me through God's words in my life.
The Son, and the Holy Spirit. At this time, Patrick's testimony will be read by Glenn Soge. Glenn is Patrick's father and a close friend of mine, so I will have him come forward and read the testimony.
This is the testimony for Patrick Soge. My name is Patrick Soge, and this is my testimony. I was born in the year 1999. God blessed me with my sacrificial and affectionate parents, Glenn and Carol Soge, and my thoughtful older brother, Matthew. I've been raised in a very loving and godly household. I thought I was a Christian because my parents are. My parents would read us Bible stories, pray with us, have devotionals, and take us to Lighthouse Community Church. I enjoyed it, and I liked the stories the teachers taught me, although I didn't believe them, as I thought they sounded too far-fetched to be real. I was a prideful, whining, self-centered boy who wouldn't accept that he was wrong. I knew I wasn't really a Christian, and I didn't want to admit it. And then in 2011, I entered youth group. Youth group was a turning point in my life, as advisors taught me very dynamic points, and I began attending big service, where I heard messages that pierced my heart. I began to see what a sinner I was throughout this period of my life. I realized I was not the perfect person I thought I was and recognized that I needed saving. However, I wasn't sure if following Jesus was worth it. I was afraid of the unknown and fearful of leaving my comfort zone. As time went on, I began to take the decision of Christianity much more seriously, as my view transformed from it being a simple statement of saying that I was a Christian to an eternal decision that would determine where I would go. Then on the last day of youth retreat in 2012, I accepted him into my heart as my Lord and Savior. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose." This verse comforts me as it assures me that even when I am having the worst time of my life, I know that it will be for my good and God's glory. Life here on earth is short and dim, but an eternity with him is worth more than anything I could imagine.
Patrick, do you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead?
I do.
Because of your confession of faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
In my office, I have a picture of a few of our youth many years ago, and in the background was Carol Soge
and Patrick. And Patrick was about like this tall. So good to see him as a young man now. Jess Lim will be reading Claudine's testimony. And Jess met and befriended Claudine when she moved to Los Angeles after graduating. And it's at this time that Jess will come and read Claudine's testimony.
This is the testimony of Claudine Raja. Hi, everyone. I'm Claudine, and I feel so happy and thankful to be here today for my baptism. I've been truly blessed by God and this church family in the way that you have taught me about Jesus and my salvation, and it has truly changed my life. I came to the U.S. in 2005 as an international college student. When I graduated, I moved to L.A. from the East Coast for a full-time job. I was very excited. But my first year in L.A. ended up being particularly tough. I was struggling in every area of my life. In my new job, adapting to the American culture, society, and system, feeling homesick all the time, and having some not-so-good experience with friends that I made out here. Even though it seemed like I had it all to my family and the people around me, on the inside I was empty. I knew something was missing, but I didn't know what it was. Right at the peak of my struggles that year, God sent Dan Lim into my life. Some of you might know him. He goes to Lighthouse and is a local missionary who serves international students. When I was first introduced to Dan at a barbecue, I instantly felt that he was different from any other person that I've met in LA. At the barbecue, Dan and his friends, they were mostly people from Lighthouse, really welcomed me, talked to me, and made me feel at home. I saw something different about this community in the way they treated me and showed me love, and also in the way they interacted with one another. Dan and his wife Jess invited me to Lighthouse and would drive me to church every Sunday. After attending service for a few times, I knew God wanted me back in church. Growing up in Malaysia, I went to church and learned Bible stories, but I was still walking my own way. I didn't know who God really is and how he was relevant in my life. But God is good, and I guess he always knew what his plans of restoration were for me. At Lighthouse, I encountered God over and over again, and I feel his presence through his word and the people in this church. It has helped me understand who I am in Christ and see his purpose for my life. So much has changed and happened. I am now living my life God's way. The last 5 years has been the most encouraging and humbling time of my life because I now understand that I sin and I need Jesus. By God's grace, I drew closer to him in ways I never had, finding forgiveness and enjoying his love. I was made to be in relationship with him. And since God created all things, I know that I can trust him with anything, even when life gets tough. I know he was doing a good work in me. That is freedom, knowing that he is a perfect father who loves me beyond human comprehension, and that is exactly what I need and the reason I'm getting baptized today.
Claudine, do you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead?
I do.
Because of your confession of faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
So far, we're getting Asia down. We have Taiwan, Japan represented, Malaysia, and now we will have Vietnam represented as well. Because at this time, Cam Barlow, the wife of Joe Barlow, will be reading his testimony. And it's been a pleasure to be able to see them grow and to talk with them through premarital counseling and to watch them get married. So this time, Cam.
Good morning. This is the testimony of Joseph Barlow. I'm a sinner in desperate need of God's relentless and powerful grace that only can be found in the gospel of Jesus Christ, my Savior. For much of my life, I've been defiant to this truth. Growing up in Richmond, Virginia, born out of wedlock to a young teenage mother, my grandparents watched me while my mother pursued her education. My grandmother and my mom disciplined me well and encouraged me to excel in school studies, even to the extent of shunning distractions such as sports, hanging out with friends. Throughout my adolescence, the idea of education and acting morally equal success informed my life. My mom became my role model for overcoming adversity as she completed her education and obtained a good paying job as an accountant. As a lonely teenager with a thirst for learning and a library card, I dabble in philosophy such as Buddhism and its appeal to my sense of attaining salvation through my own efforts. In college, I was approached by a member of InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. I started attending fellowship meetings. I wanted to be accepted in a community. For the next 3 years, I would fellowship with them, singing songs of praise, praying, and reading the Bible, as I was unwilling to bring myself to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. I was still a lonely kid who felt himself better than anyone. I didn't accept my brokenness or the need for faith in something outside of my own efforts. I read the Bible and intellectualize it, missing God's plan for redemption for me, a wretched sinner. After college, I began to work, wandering the wilderness with scarcely the thought of Jesus or even God. I poured myself into work and became a rising star of the company, but it all seemed inconsequential. In my work, I was obedient and people-pleasing, but outside work channels, I was iconoclastic and confrontational. In 2006, I joined a new team of co-workers. Three of them were evangelical Christians. This group showed me tremendous amount of love, oftentimes in which I tried to reject. One day, one of these co-workers invited me to church. I attended, and I loved the message that was preached by the pastor. But I wasn't interested in trying to follow Jesus again. A few years would go by, and as I grew to love these co-workers, perhaps just because they loved me, my heart was changing. God was taking this awkward, prideful, and unrepentant sinner and showing his grace. After 6 months, I started dating, now my wife. I had a realization that I've been called to love people, to give my resources to them unselfishly. It was a calling which is so very difficult, but God showed me who I am and who he is. My heart and heart was broken, and I was open to the gospel of Jesus Christ. I consider my Christian walk fairly new, and I have struggled in it. When I started dating Cam, I attended the church I had visited, this church, Lighthouse, becoming a part of it. Thank you for loving me and teaching me what it means to worship the one triune God, even though I don't deserve it.
Joe, do you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead?
I do.
Because of your confession of faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
At this time, we'll be watching our second group of baptismal candidates. So Pastor Jason Ho will be baptizing this group. It has been good. I hope that you've been blessed by listening to these testimonies and hearing about how good God is and how he uses just the past and different stories and different people to be able to bring people to saving faith. At this time, we're going to have Sandy Tani being baptized. And Sandy has asked Steve Wong, her brother-in-law, as well as Jennifer Wong, her sister, to come forward to read her testimony. And it's quite ironic because I grew up with Jennifer and with Sandy at the church, and I think I was the naughty kid. And so they're very shocked that I'm up here as a pastor. But we'll have Steve and Jennifer come forward.
Yeah, this is the testimony of Sandy Tani. Psalm 41-3, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. 12 years ago, I did cry out to God, and I waited patiently. The pit of destruction was from my own doing, my own mind as my worst enemy. 12 years ago, I was admitted to a psychiatric hospital, deemed by my closest friends as a danger to oneself. A 72-hour hold turned into 13 days, and in those 13 days, I prayed, but I truly believed that God had abandoned me in my own miserable darkness. 5 years prior to my hospitalization, I had been diagnosed with severe depression with episodes of hypomania. This diagnosis led me down a very long, lonely path of soul-searching, coupled with an intense concoction of medication. At one point, I had been taking down 6 different kinds of medications to keep myself from harming myself. My life at this point was empty of God. I was deeply mistaken by the reality that was life, because God did hear me cry out to him that night in the hospital. He heard my prayers. He heard the prayers of my family members and my friends. His plan for me was there all along. I have always known this, but my eyes were not open and my heart was hardened. The next 10 years of my life was a slow uphill progression. God placed kind, understanding, and truly blessed believers in my life who gave me their friendship and wisdom. Although for those 10 years, as blessed as I was to have a loving husband who carried the burden of my disease, I felt lost, and Christ as my Savior felt intangible. 3.5 years ago, God led my husband and I back to my childhood home, back in Southern California. God has literally spoken to me through the gospel right here at Lighthouse Church, through the wonderful pastors and kind families. My transformation in Christ was never from one day to the next. My praying has been constant, sometimes pleading, at times desperate, and now I pray with gratitude and peace in my heart. While at Lighthouse Church, I've asked God to lift the burden off my shoulders, the burden that has plagued and followed me my entire life, the burden that had left me shattered, not only mentally, but emotionally. God has put me back together in steps, though at times seem painfully slow, but essential in my growth as a Christian. Matthew 11:28-29 reads, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." It was only 4 months ago that God heard my prayers again and blessed me with a pregnancy. 3 months later, the pregnancy was taken away from me. I will be honest, when this happened, I was devastated and heartbroken. I felt the pull of my depression, the sorrow that welled up inside and tempted to pull me under the waves. I did not succumb to it. I was not angry. I'd like to say that my own sheer will and my strength that got me through that loss, but it wasn't. It was God. It was my renewed, unshakable faith. I had never felt our Heavenly Father so very close to me, watching me and carrying me. Again, I was shattered, but the difference was that I did not stay that way. I am no longer defined by a mental disorder, nor do I carry the burden of depending on medication to keep me alive. Again, it would be easy for me to boast and say with great pride that it was my own doing and my own self-preservation. Jesus Christ has saved me, and there is a very real, tangible force that is guiding me. For those who have suffered, remember that your darkness is not eternal. If Christ lives in your heart, there is nothing you cannot overcome. Corinthians 5:17 reads, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come."
Sandy, do you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God called him from the dead, raised him from the dead?
I do.
Because of your confession of faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
You may be wondering why these little ones are coming in. But for different individuals of our church who are getting baptized, they help out with the children's ministry. So I think Uncle Teddy, as they all call him, is going to be next. So, but right now, well, it's a long line. So there was three trees, and there was a fox, and what else can I won't stall anymore. At this time, Teddy's testimony will be read by Jimmy Sal. And Jimmy is not only a friend, but also Teddy's discipler, and also a fellow Bruin. So, Jimmy, please come forward.
I'm assuming by the time Jimmy is reading this out loud to you, I'll probably be standing in a pool of water. This is the testimony of Teddy Shea. My bad. Once again, I'm assuming by the time Jimmy is reading this out loud to all of you, I'll probably be standing in a pool of water in front of the entire church. Man, just thinking about it is a little intimidating. I can't even imagine what I'll actually be feeling when I'm there. Here goes. I grew up in a small Taiwanese Presbyterian church in Santa Ana and was baptized as a baby there. When I was a little older at the age of 9, I remember my mom shared the gospel with me and asked me if I wanted to pray to accept Christ into my life, and I did so that night with her. I then prayed the same acceptance prayer several nights in a row, believing I had to pray that prayer every night for the rest of my life, not knowing it was a one-time thing until my mom explained it to me. The following years were tumultuous for me, which began with our departure of that church due to various internal issues. From the 4th to 6th grade, my family visited several churches, and life at home was rocky during this period. My terrible and unrestrained behavior at school helped alienate me from my classmates. Experiences of feeling alone and unloved lingered. It was in 7th grade that my best friend, Jeff Takigawa, invited me to his youth group at Wintersburg Presbyterian. Attending Wintersburg has allowed me to grasp what accepting Christ meant those years ago, and my experiences there helped me recognize my lacking pursuit of Him in my life. I'm not going to say that the years that have followed since then have been perfect, but through the grace of God, many trials and blessings have made His gospel much clearer to me. Further still, coming to college and to Lighthouse has humbled me and helped me learn what it means to commit to the body of Christ, to prioritize being a part of His church, and to grow with and to serve my fellow believers in it. Christ has saved me despite my sin, my shortcomings, and my idolatry in the world, and I hope you will celebrate with me now as I publicly declare my commitment to loving and serving Christ as my Lord and Savior, and to serve you, Lighthouse.
Teddy, do you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead?
I do.
Because of your confession of faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
At this time, we have our last testimony of the morning, and Julie Lee will be reading Jana's testimony, and Julie is the mother of Jana, and also Jerry will also be accompanying Julie as well.
This is testimony of Jana Lee. God transformed my heart when I tried so hard to avoid Him. I grew up in a Christian family and had a childlike faith and joy in seeking Christ, but I began to push God away by the time I was in middle school. I dreaded Sunday mornings. I avoided fellowship with other people because I never felt like I belonged. When I was 13, my parents sat me down and told me that we would no longer go to our church. I found out that the church I attended was accused of being a cult, and I was deeply hurt by all the abuse I had witnessed. My heart became hardened towards God, and I wanted nothing to do with Him. I thought that all institutionalized religion was corrupt, and I was confused if everything I had known was a lie. If Christianity was about my relationship with God, I could just read the Bible on my own and grow by faith by myself. But how sinful it was to think I could treat God as someone I could go to and leave whenever I felt like it. I held this bitterness toward God with me through the beginning of college. It took many trials to break down my wall of pride until all I could do was to draw near to God's grace and love. Broken friendships, the possibility of a terminal illness, and the uncertainty in many situations in my life overwhelmed me. As much as I tried to avoid church, fellowships, and ultimately God, He began to work in my heart. I attended a friendship barbecue during the first week of my third year at UCLA. I predetermined that I would visit for an hour and leave, never to think or even consider religion again. It was a last-ditch effort to revive any faith that I might have had as a child. After that hour passed and I was about to leave, I was encouraged to stay just a little longer. I was hesitant, but I agreed. It was the love of God shown through the people who welcomed me that night that made me decide to seek Him once again. I thank God for opening my eyes and softening my heart through the people He placed in my life. He rescued me from my binding sins and healed the deep wounds that have been rooted from my past. I can't explain how happy I am to be baptized this morning. Baptism used to be something that loomed over me. I used to view it as a pass-fail system that needed man's approval for my faith and salvation. I was quiet and never shared my opinions, struggles, or sins because I wanted to appear as perfect as I could in the eyes of others. But what a blessing it is to know that Jesus has already died on the cross to cover my sins so that I may be seen as perfect in the eyes of God. What a joy it is to know that baptism is a happy occasion to praise God for saving everyone, even a sinner like me. And what a privilege it is to dedicate this new life in honor of Him. Thank you, God, for being the precious and gracious, loving Father that you are. And I pray that in all I do, you will be glorified.
Jana, do you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead?
I do.
Because of your confession of faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.